Well, we've been doing a study on God's practical prescription for peace. This is part four, and the way it's planned right now, this will be the conclusion unless our great God and King decides otherwise. And if he's leading, that's where I'm going. So my plan is to conclude that today. Praise God. So we've been talking about how easily life can get us down. And it really is easy. And when you watch the news and you look around you, it's real easy when you focus on all the bad things going on to think that life just stinks. What's the point? You know, there's no joy. There's no color. It's all gray and it's all dreary and it's all clouds. But that's not the Christian life that God intended for his people at all. That's not it. God intended us to walk with joy, and he created the beauty. We talked about this last week, that God is such an artist, if you will. His painting, the sunrise, the creation and nature, so much beauty and joy and peacefulness in the things that God has created. And we can take so much joy from those things. And a trusted friend, so much joy and comfort and peace that we can draw from a trusted friend and a family member and things like that. And you know, I talk with people very often, and I don't know if it's just this area, but Orleans County seems to be having a problem with some mental health issues. And people are depressed. People are really depressed. And we talked a little bit about vitamin D, you know, and how New Yorkers are deficient in vitamin D. I mean, it's the truth. But vitamin D is the thing that we get from where? How about that? We get the vitamin D from the sun, you know? And if we don't get enough sun absorbing that vitamin D, it's almost a natural depressant, if you will. We are deficient in some minerals and things, vitamins that we need. But when the sun shines on us, how many of you know when the Son of God shines on us, it gives us what we need. It nourishes our spirits. And it makes us healthy spiritually. Amen. We get what we need from the sun. Amen. Praise God. And so I hope that you have been taking some notes here. And I mentioned last time, it's my hope to put together a sheet, if you will, or a reference guide of these scriptures so that you will have them at your disposal anytime you would like them. And hopefully in the week or two to come here, we can put that together for you once the series is finished. But these scriptures ought to be a go-to for you, you know. And it's important for us to remind ourselves what we need and to go get it, okay? How many of you know that when you're sick or there's something your body needs, where do you go? You go to the doctor, right? That's kind of the normal progression of things. Many of us do not like to go to the doctor, okay? For whatever reason that may be, but it's necessary, all right? And in most cases, the doctor is able to help you. But you gotta get yourself there. I'm preaching to myself today, all right? You got to get yourself there, and we need to get ourselves where we can receive the medicine that we need, because right here in the pages, on your phone, on your iPad now, it's all over the place. Right here is where the answer lies. Here is where we receive our vitamins and minerals and nutrients for our souls.
Yes. Amen.
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 We receive encouragement, instruction, and guidance, correction, and so on and so much more. Everything we need, the Bible says, for life and what? Godliness, right there. Here it is. Okay? And you know, and we talk about this a lot, and let's just be honest here. Oftentimes, the Bible, after Sunday morning, okay, gets put away where we can find it next Sunday. We know right where it is because it hasn't moved from there. Right? Okay? We're family here. We're talking about some family stuff. Okay? And sometimes we find Bibles left here, honestly, for months. And nobody's looking for them. I don't get it. Okay? That's not healthy. Where would you be without food for a month? You'd be spiritually deficient.
That's right.
Would you not?
Right.
Yeah? Go find your Bible. Don't let it collect dust someplace. Read it.
Amen.
Read it. Amen. The Bible says, be not hearers of the word only. So don't just listen to the word, but do it. Do it. Put it into action. Yeah?
Amen.
Put the word of God into action in your life. Consume it like you would a piece of food, choice meat. You take it in. Oh, that's so good to me. It tastes so good. I like it. I do. It tastes so good. I just ingest it and my body's like, yeah, give me some more of that. Yeah? That's the word of God. That's what we need. The word of God nourishes us. Praise God. But it is normal for us that if we are not taking in enough, that we would naturally get that downtrodden feeling. And we talked last time about our gaze just is down. And we're down. Our spirit is down. Our shoulders are heavy weighted and our gaze is just down. And the Bible is, lift up your gaze.
Amen.
Lift up your gaze. That downtrodden thing, that is not for you. You are a child of royalty. You should walk with pride. Not in yourself, but in the one who is behind you and in you. That pride and that confidence in who I am in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have that strength, that faith, that confidence that builds me up and undergirds me. And his angels are all surrounding me wherever I go. I can't be plucked from his hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 66:13. God's heart, his father heart toward his children. 66, verse 13. Just very small, very short. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. We are his children.
Yes, we are.
We are his children. We are the workmanship of his hands.
Yes, we are.
The painter paints a picture. The musician writes a song. The builder builds a building. And,
yes.
And the sower sows fabric and so on and so forth. And God is building us. We are the work of his hands. We are his workmanship created for good works in Christ, as the Bible says. But take comfort today. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Praise God. And I want to take you, as long as we're in Isaiah, back to chapter 43. And many of you know right where I'm going here. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Oh, I just want you to close your eyes. Would you just close your eyes and just maybe lean your head back just a little bit. Take a deep breath. Let me hear you. All right, very good. Now that you've blown into the person in front of you. All right, just be still. Now listen. Listen. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
Hallelujah.
Open your eyes. Fear not. The Lord has called you by name. We belong to Him. In other places it says, how could I forget you? I have engraven you on the palm of my hand. I have engraven you on the palm of my hands. Isn't that awesome? And when we think of the palms of Jesus, we think of the nail-scarred hands and what he did on our behalf. He took our place on the cross, and he took our sin, and he nailed it to the cross, and he took it to the grave where it remains. In the grave, dead forevermore.
Thank you, Lord.
And God raised him on the third day.
Amen.
And sealed our salvation. We are no longer bound by sin. We're no longer bound by depression. We're no longer bound by addiction. The blood of Jesus Christ is the thing that breaks the chains. It breaks the chains. And there is no foe. There is no enemy that can stand against the blood of Jesus. Nothing can stand against him. Proverbs 17:22. God's practical prescription for peace. Proverbs. Where am I going here? And you've probably heard this before. And this is a prescription. This is a prescription that will nourish your soul and do you good. 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Some versions say a merry heart or laughter. Did you ever get around, maybe you got a friend or a family member, and man, they just make you laugh all the time. You know, every time you're around them, they just make you laugh. You know, their crazy antics or the things they say, or, you know, they make you laugh, and you feel good. It really is a medicine. It is good. There's things released, and I'm no medical professional like some of y'all in here, but I believe from what I have heard that there are things that are released into your body that when you laugh that are healthy for you, that make you feel good.
Endorphins.
All right. Yeah. And it helps you. It makes you healthy. Yeah. Laughter is good, like a medicine. And so when you feel, and if you feel down and depressed, the first thing that you want to do is just get away from everybody. Did you ever notice that? That is the opposite of what we need to do. When we're feeling down and we're feeling like we're carrying a lot of weight around, you know, and those kind of things, and our gaze is cast downward, the first thing that we want to do is just withdraw from everybody. And that's one of the first signs of depression, clinically. Okay? You want to withdraw from everybody. Get away. You don't want to talk to nobody. You don't like to do the things that you used to do that you love. Everything becomes bland and distasteful. And it feels like this cloud is just, wherever you go, that cloud, that black, dark cloud is over you. You know? But the very thing that we need to do is to get back around our people, get back around the family of God and those that you know love you and support you. That's good medicine. Laugh. Laughter, you know. Let's turn to Psalms 100. PS 100. Where have I heard that before? Verse 5, Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord, I'm just going to go with verse 4 here too. It may not be up there. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with what? Praise. We have those very things painted on our walls over in the fellowship hall over there. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It kind of presents this jubilant sort of scenario, doesn't it? You know? Some of the music that, forgive me, some of the music that is played in churches sounds more like a dirge, more like a funeral march than it does jubilant and celebratory and joyous and celebrating what God has done, you know? And there's a place, you know, for those certain things. But man, I'm telling you, the house of God ought to be excited. We ought to be anticipating what God is doing. And when we get here, it's just a place to let it out, man. Let's just worship God. No holds barred, yeah? Worshiping God with reckless abandon. Amen. Not holding back because of what others might think. Not that we should be disruptive. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying just take the plunge. You know what I mean? Take the plunge. Worship God with joy and gladness. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. We can always, we sing that song, God My Rock. I can rely on you. I can rely on you, right? We can rely on God. Why? Because he's trustworthy. He's faithful. He is the rock that does not roll. Yeah? We can build our foundation upon the rock because it's firm. And when the storms of our life come, and they will come, let them come, I say. Let them come. Because my house is built upon the rock, and I don't need to fear. Jesus is my rock. He is the rock of our salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is a scripture that says, take captive, and we take captive every thought to make it what? Obedient to Christ. That is an action. You know? If we just let things come at us, all right? Now, we're talking spiritual stuff here, all right? Last week, we talked about the armor of God some, didn't we? Okay? And we got to take that stuff up, and we got to put it on. Okay? the full armor of God, not just part of it, right? And we need to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When those thoughts of depression and all these things that start getting us down, we got to say, I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. That is not a thought from the Savior. That is not in the Word. And do you remember when Jesus was in the desert and the enemy would come after him? He would say, it is written. He fought with the Word of God. And we learned last week that the weapons of our warfare, as the Bible says, are not carnal. They're not men's weapons. On the contrary, they have divine power from God to demolish strongholds, pulling down the bad stuff that the enemy is trying to set up in our lives. The enemy wants to come in and build up some strongholds in our lives. And if we don't fight that, he will. And he will get a foothold.
Amen.
And pretty soon a foothold becomes a stronghold. But you know what? Doesn't it sound ridiculous? Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get out of here. You get away from me. People think you're crazy when you talk like that. It's craziness, isn't it? The Bible says in Matthew 28. Do you remember the Great Commission? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Right? And lo, I am with you all things. And the precursor to that, Jesus said this: all things on heaven and on earth have been given to me.
That's right.
So Jesus has the power, all of heaven and all of earth, all of it is his. And what does he do with it? He gives it to us. He gives it to us. So that means that we have the spiritual authority over the powers of darkness. Do you understand that? We have spiritual authority through Christ Jesus our Lord. But oftentimes we feel funny saying that. We feel funny saying that stuff, okay? And our kids feel funny saying that stuff. Let me tell you something, guys. Teach your kids to use that just as you would teach them to use a broom.
That's right.
Okay? Young people, learn how to use that authority and recognize the enemy when he comes at you. You got to learn to recognize him and take authority over him, because he is submissive to you just as much as he is submissive to me or anybody else, because of the power of Christ Jesus that is in you and nothing else.
Amen.
When you know your enemy and when you know the weapons you are fighting with and how to use them, the enemy will be under your feet.
Yes, he will.
All right?
Yes, he will.
Men, women, wives, husbands, in your homes, if you are not using this stuff, you need to start. Okay? You need to start learning how to use the authority of Christ Jesus that has been given us through the Word of God. Okay? This is not my words.
That's right.
All right? This is the Word of God. The authority that we have in Christ Jesus. The enemy doesn't want us to know that. He wants to keep us fearful. He wants us to think that I got to take whatever comes at my way. And you know what? Some of it's just life. Some of it's just life. That's the way it is. All right? Life is never easy. If you want anything in life, you got to work your tail off to get it. All right? But God is with you. God is in support of you. And all heaven is backing you. And last week we talked about the Faith Hall of Fame and Moses and Abraham and all of these forefathers in our faith. The Faith Hall of Fame are shouting on the sidelines, come on, go, go, go. You can do it. Go. You're almost there. And they're spurring us on in the faith. Let's go. You can do it. I know you're tired. I know you're down. I know it's hard to get up, but get up. Come on. What are you waiting for? Amen. The Hall of Fame. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is on our side. And if God is for us, tell me, who can be against us? Who can be against us? We talked before. I'm getting way off topic. We talked before about this, that tiny mustard seed of faith. You remember in the story of the Bible, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he was hungry, it says. And he walks up, he sees a fig tree in the distance. He goes to this fig tree, and he's looking for some figs to eat off of this thing. There was no figs on it. Well, what does he do? He curses the tree. He curses the tree. All right? And so they keep going. The next day or later that day, I'm not sure how long it took, but they come back by, and here's this tree, and this thing is dead. It's dead. And the disciples are like, whoa. Ain't this the one he cursed, right? This was alive yesterday. And they were marveling at this, you know. And Jesus is like, if you have the faith as tiny as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and say, be removed, get out of here, be moved into the sea.
That's right.
How many of you know there are mountains in your life? There are mountains, financial mountains in your life. There are physical mountains in your life. There are demonic mountains in your life. There are relational mountains in your life. This big, folks. Can you muster up that amount of faith? And we talked about those seeds, those little round balls that are in the pickles, right? Those are the mustard seeds. Can you muster up that amount of faith to pray a prayer maybe that you've prayed 100 times? Huh? Can you do that? Do you have that much faith? I remember when I was at, and you guys get tired of hearing me say it, but I just can't tell it enough. 2 years ago now, God healed me. When I was not expecting it, when I had given up on the thought of being healed. And I was like, Lord, whatever you want for me, okay. It's pretty obvious to me, this is the way you want me to stay. Otherwise, you would have fixed it by now. And I was like, okay. And my will was submitted to him. Okay, Lord. And when we were leading worship up at Oak Orchard up here, our band was leading worship for a 2-day healing event. And I'm skeptical when it comes to that kind of stuff. And trust me, not because God can't do it, but people make it a circus, right? Yeah. You've all seen it.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I was skeptical because of that. But this guy, man, he was legit. He was tender-hearted, and he was very humble, and he was just preaching gently the word of God, and he was not showy. I don't like that showy stuff because that's showing everybody, look at me, what I can do. Look at me. Okay? I don't like that. Yeah. This man was very humble and very simple. And as God began to heal and work in his speaking, he just said, raise your hand if you need God to move. If you need healing. And so I thought, well, I got nothing to lose. I can raise. Anybody here need God to move in their lives? Raise your hand. Do you need God to do a move in your life today? And so I'm sitting way over here, you know, aside from everybody else. And then he said, what I want you to do is I just want you to move that area. And so I took my back and I just kind of moved my back like that just a little bit, you know. And as soon as I moved it, bam. What is that? Because as you know, I've got rods and I got screws and I've got the whole thing, cages back there, wires in the works. My back is not supposed to be making crazy sounds like that. All right, so that scared me to death. And I was like, whoa, you know? And so I thought, well, maybe I just, you know, freak thing. And I just did it again. Boom! And now I'm starting to get scared. I got goosebumps, you know? And I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? This never happens. It's not supposed to happen. It's made so it doesn't happen. It can't happen. And so I did it again. And each time I'm trying to convince myself it didn't happen. So the third time, bam, the same thing happened again. And I'm like, finally by now, I'm like, Lord, are you doing something here tonight? Are you doing something to me tonight? And I began to question like that. And I said to him this. I said, because I don't know if I have the faith to believe that anymore. I've prayed thousands of prayers. People have prayed for me for 15 years. I've been on disability. And that's no picnic. I've been in pain 24/7 for 15 years. I don't know if I can believe that anymore. And as those words in my mind were spoken, something came out of his mouth, and he said this. Unbelief looks for the problem. Belief looks for the answer. And that just hit me square in the eyes. And as those words came out of his mouth, I moved my back again. I was like, wow, that's really cool. I want to get that on my phone. You know, I want to remember that one. And as I'm doing this, my back cracks three times as loud as it was before. I dropped my phone. It scared me so bad. I was afraid to move. It hurt. And I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. I was afraid literally to move. And he said, if you feel like God did something to you, I want you to come forward. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And so I stood up carefully, cautiously, and I stood up. And it was just like this warm shower, hot water washed over me, and the pain was no longer there. And I had forgotten what that felt like. I didn't remember what that felt like. It had been so long. And the pain in my back after 15 years, four surgeries, and all kinds of stuff in my back, it's all still there, okay? But the pain is not. The pain is gone. What doctors, what surgery, what the medical technology couldn't do, God did for me. God did. And I stand before you today healed because of what God did for me. Because of what God did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is awesome. Awesome. He's like no one else. He's like no other God. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of gods among all the religions in the world. But there's one true God. And he holds the universe in his hands. And he holds you and me as well. You are in his hands. That is the one that is holding on to you today.
Hallelujah.
Turn with me to Psalm 23, if you would. Are you taking your meds today? Huh? You taking your meds today? All right. We're taking in our meds this morning. Our prescription, God's prescription for peace. The Lord is my shepherd. We might as well just read the whole thing here because it's all good, as they say. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet, still waters. He restores my soul. Listen, listen, you hear that? Listen. Can you hear the brook bubbling as the water gently passes by? He leads us beside quiet waters, and he restores our soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know why that's important? Because his name is attached to his promises. If he don't come through on his promises, then he's a liar, he's a promise breaker, and he can't be trusted. But he guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And listen to this now. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes it feels like we're in the shadow of death. But it says here, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Those are shepherd's tools right there. They keep us in line. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And we've talked about this before, and I just love that analogy that when we should be at war in the presence of our enemies and the arrows are going over our head and they're whizzing by our ears, our Savior, our shepherd is preparing a place for us to sit down and we're going to eat together.
Hallelujah.
In peace.
Hallelujah.
Because we're resting in him. We're trusting in him. Though our enemies are around us, we're trusting in him. And we're sitting down together and we're eating. I love it. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I got everything I need. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. I'm going to stay where Jesus is. How many of you want to be where Jesus is? Yeah? If you consider the options, that's a pretty good place to be. Think about it. You know? You don't want to be in a place where Jesus ain't. Right? Let's close with that. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today? I want to just read you one more scripture. You don't have to turn there with me. Psalm 55, 22. God loves you. You know that? He adores you. I was talking to some people in jail recently, and I go in there once a month just about, and I speak and I sing, and I do the men at one time, and then I'll do the ladies right afterwards. And these ladies were in there, and I could tell that, you know, they're really upset. They're downtrodden and discouraged and embarrassed and hurt and angry and all the works, you know. And I said to them, you are God's baby girls. You belong to God. You are his daughters. He adores you. Yep. And their eyes are like looking at me like they've never heard that in their whole life. God adores you as sons and daughters. He loves you. He wants the very best for you. He wants a strong faith. He wants you to succeed. He's with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what comes your way, you build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ. And when those storms come, and they will come, let them come. Because our strength is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is the one that sustains us. Now listen to this scripture. This is Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Cast your cares. As you would toss something out onto the water. Cast it out. Just throw it away. Throw your fears, throw your worries, take your burdens to the foot of the cross. There used to be an old song, I think it was Larry Norman or something. Lay your burden down, lay your burden down. Take your worries to the foot of the cross. Lay them down. Today. I did not sing that in key with what Bill was doing, sorry. But that's okay. Today, just as we close, I want to give you an opportunity, just quickly. Maybe you've been carrying a burden around. Maybe you've been carrying some fear around, or doubt, or worry, or anger. We're closing this series today. Don't allow these things to continue. Take them and lay them down, as it were, at the foot of the cross. You can even go right over to the foot of the cross. Amen. This one, as a symbol, and just lay down the burdens that you've been carrying. As we sing this song, don't wait. Prayer team, would you come forward right now? We're going to pray with you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to hold you up. We're going to stand together with you. Come and lay your worries and your cares and your fears. Cast your anxiety. Cast your anxiety on Him, because He cares for us.